That's right. We're right here at Sharp Fast's Gallery this afternoon, and it is 84 degrees out there. Looks like this evening we are looking for some clouds, low of 61 degrees, and tomorrow we're going to have a high of 87 with a low of 62. Perfect football weather. And we have Jack Collier, who is an international wood carver. Let me tell you, he does fabulous stuff. For those of you that go back and see the video, you'll be able to see some of his carvings. And, of course, we'll be posting that on YouTube. So you are in for a treat. It is amazing the people that live in Greenwood and the surrounding area. The talent that is here is truly phenomenal. But before we get started, we're going to do a quick check on the price of gold. You know, gold was down this morning, but it looks like we're going to end up at about $1,778.20. That's $1,778.20. Silver is at $34.66, and platinum, $16.47. So good day for the metals today. If you've got it to sell, come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass. But Jack Collier, he is, as I said, an international wood carver. He's done stuff for all kinds of stars and celebrities, and even for the State Department right up there in Washington, D.C. Jack Collier, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, it's good to have you here. We've known you for several years.
Yes.
And we've gotten to see a lot of your work, and, of course, it is phenomenal. How somebody who was living in Pennsylvania ended up on Lake Greenwood. Can you explain to this how this would happen?
Well, I guess I can. I wasn't big on snow shoveling. And
but you grew up in it.
Yeah, I got over it since then.
Okay.
As a kid, I loved playing hockey and shoveling snow off the lake, and I've gotten over that. I grew up around lakes. And I was looking for a lake and something warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking down around Chattanooga. The prices there were a little bit prohibitive, and there weren't many lots to pick from.
Of course, that was back when, 2005, back when real estate was good.
Yeah, that was, exactly. I think it was about 2007, maybe,
okay.
2006, somewhere in there.
Sure.
And we started looking around and looked on the internet, and I was looking for lakes. We looked up around Lake Hartwell. It was beautiful up there. The water was down about 15 feet. I was a little concerned with that, so I looked around and I saw Lake Greenwood, and we came and checked it out and fell in love with it.
Yeah,
liked the town, and it's really what we were looking for.
Well, and you said that while Lake Hartwell was down 15 feet, Lake Greenwood was only down...
down about a foot and a half, and I'm sold.
So you've been here ever since,
Yes, yep, and we love it here. Yeah.
Absolutely. But to be an international wood carver as you are, one would wonder, did you do years of study, or how did it all start that you got into wood?
I would have to say... attribute that to my grandfather that he worked for Chris Craft, and he was a fine craftsman, did a lot of his own furniture and what have you. And I was fascinated with that from the time I was a child. And
didn't he work for General Motors, too?
Yes. Yeah,
what did he actually do for General Motors?
He was a general foreman at General Motors truck back when they had wooden frames. And... he actually made some of his tools out of brass and bronze, and I think my brother has some of that collection. I have a few things, but they would make their own tools to do a specific job for mortising the frames together, and all the old frames were made out of wood and then covered with metal.
Wow.
And... he had, I think he had over 1,000 men under him, and so he did that. He was very good at what he did, and then he retired, and...
I bet he had a big wood shop at home.
Yeah, and every Saturday morning I'd be down there, and I'd be looking through his wood pile and to make a little model airplane or something. And
you would just pick out the scraps to use, right, Jack?
No. Apparently, I had an eye for fine woods, and he would kind of grimace, and then he'd finally give in and give me the beautiful piece of mahogany or walnut or whatever to make an airplane out of. And
and if only you had those woods now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So every Saturday morning, it was kind of a tradition to you kind of bargain for, you know, the wood you're going to do your project with. So, yeah, at an early age, I just had a love for it.
How about your brother? How about your brother?
My brother, the same way. He'd be down in the basement there, and Saturday morning, we'd go down there and, you know, have go out fishing early in the morning, come in and have French toast, and then head down in the shop.
What a life.
Look for wood.
Yeah,
life
wasn't that
was
a
good.
Life? Life was good, yeah. You know, we never realized how good life was when we were kids,
yeah.
Right? Now you look at it and you want French toast, fix it yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So how did you get from liking to do that? Now, your father was also, he actually did more of the carvings, right?
Yes. He just had a natural talent for it, and he would...
No training.
He'd take out a jackknife and start carving, and he can do an incredible likeness of anyone.
Didn't he do some kind of famous ones?
Yeah, he did... He did the coin toss by Norman Rockwell with the football players and the referee, and they're tossing the coin,
uh-huh.
And it looks exactly like his painting, three-dimensional, and it's incredible. I mean, it's done with a jackknife, so he just had an amazing talent. He did...
And he could take it from a picture. He didn't have three-dimensional to work with.
Yeah, or he could meet somebody, talk to him one time, and go back, you know, 3 months later and carve a three-dimensional likeness, a dead ringer, from any angle. Just
now,
incredible.
Now, what did your dad do for work?
He worked at General Motors truck.
Okay.
And
did he ever get paid the big bucks for that kind of stuff?
No. People would come to him, and they'd have an uncle or whatever that, you know, they wanted a likeness done of him in wood, and he'd do it for them, bring it into work.
Yeah.
And he did do some things, I believe, for General Motors.
Wow.
And
that's pretty neat. Now, do you still have any of those pieces?
I do. I should bring those in sometime.
That would be neat.
There's one he did of me. In my younger days, I enjoyed racing cars, and I would blow up the engines with alarming regularity.
Okay, sounds good, Jack.
And he did one of me, a bust of me on top of a Pontiac engine, and he did it. The one cylinder head is off. You can see the cylinders in there. The engine's half torn apart. And then it goes into an intake manifold and my head on top of it. So that's the original Motorhead tribute. And it's an exact likeness of me.
Wow.
At that time with the long hair and the beard and, you know, crawling under my cars and blowing them up and what have you. So.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty phenomenal. Now, how big is that, just out of curiosity?
Just maybe 5-6 inches tall.
Okay.
So it's just big enough for
well,
whatever
cool.
You'd find out of a piece of a pallet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even good carving wood.
Right.
The detail's incredible.
Wow. So did you start carving based on what you saw your father doing? Or
I think I was influenced by that. When I was younger, I never attempted anything like that, I don't think. A little carving chains out of one piece of wood and a ball in a box.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of typical little whittling things to do.
Right.
But I always had an interest for it.
Wow. So when you were growing up, what did you think you wanted to be in this world?
Wood carver, woodworker.
You did, really?
Yeah.
What? What did you do when you graduated from school?
Well, I got out of school and I went down to the power company. My friend told me they were hiring down there, and I said, how do you get there? He said, well, you just drive down towards Detroit, and you'll see Edison on a big skyscraper. Just go in there. So, okay, so I drove down to Detroit, and just so happened that I drove down the day that they were hiring. They only hired 6 people for their apprentice program that year, and I happened to be there.
And you didn't know that. You didn't know that when you were driving down there.
I saw Edison on the thing, and I drove down.
So you weren't carving telephone poles, but you were power poles. You were hiking up them.
I was climbing them, and one chilly morning, I think it was well below zero, I was 85 feet up in the air and the wind howling. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better way.
So you climbed down off that pole and left.
Yeah,
that was it, huh? All right. Well, we are here with Jack Collier. We're talking about his early life, how he got into this carving. You're going to be amazed at this story. It really is a good one. So I certainly hope you're going to stay right with us right here on WCRS. I am Ann Eller. If you have a question or a comment, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
Oh, that's Saturday. Right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking to Jack Collier. He is a woodworking artiste, that's right, and he's with us this afternoon. If you get a chance to see the video, you'll get to see some of his pieces. And, of course, you can always call Jack and set up a time to get together with them. How is the workload, though, right now? Have you got a lot of free time?
Not a whole lot of free time, no.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of work right now. It comes in bunches when it does, and
sure.
Right now it's here.
Well, that's the holiday season's coming up,
yeah.
So I guess if somebody was interested in talking to you, you'd be into next year for bookings and this type of thing.
Yeah,
most
pretty
likely.
Much, yeah.
Yeah.
Be first of the year, I think.
You'll have these projects done, huh?
Be cleared out and ready for more.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you were telling us how you got, you worked for General Motors. Now, I just wanted to know, you said you like to blow up their motors on a regular basis. Did you happen to get any good deals from General Motors on your motors?
No. I didn't get any special favors on that.
No special favors. Okay. So you worked there for a while, and then how did you actually make that step from General Motors into carpentry and then, of course, on to doing these wonderful carvings?
My brother had moved out to Pennsylvania, and he started doing general carpentry and putting quarter-inch paneling in law offices and whatever, and he had a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and he asked me to come out and work with him.
Yeah.
And I gave up a pretty good paying job at General Motors and loaded up the truck.
Yeah, a lot of good
and moved
opportunities.
On down the road.
That was a gutsy move, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah. No
and all
benefits
the benefits
or anything,
and all that
and
kind
about,
of stuff.
About a third the pay and no benefits and that kind of thing. But
were you happy?
I was very happy doing, you know, what I love to do to this day. Monday is always something to look forward to, and
that's
about as good as it gets.
Okay.
I love it.
Now, tell us about, yeah, I understand that right there at Christmas, y'all promised a big project, and you delivered it, what, an hour before or something?
Yeah, yeah, there was a cherry hutch, I think it was. And it was promised to be there for Christmas, and about 11 o'clock Christmas Eve, we were loading the truck, and the finish was still fairly fresh. And
you're saying it was still a little tacky.
Yes, and it was probably about 10 degrees outside, and I had to crawl in the back of the pickup with a little cap on it and kind of stabilize the piece. And we got it there, you know, about, I think it was probably about quarter to midnight. And so the promise was kept, and everybody was happy. They had a Merry Christmas. We had to go back and wrap presents and
get
till about 3 in the morning, and the kids woke up probably about 5 o'clock excited for Christmas morning. So was good.
Life was good, yeah. Well, you know, that is true. We at Sharp Facets, we've had, over the years, I've had to dress as an elf and deliver stuff on Christmas Day because we promised it and we said it would be there, and gosh, it was tough to get it done, but we did. That's part of the American spirit, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
And when you have a deadline, it doesn't matter what the excuse is. If you're going to produce, you got to produce
it. You
got
to do it.
That's right. So, Jack, you've done a lot of work, and when we come back after the news, I'd love to talk about some of the jobs that you've done for some of them. But you've got some wonderful pieces here on the table. Now, this elk that, of course, you can't see because we're on the radio, but you were telling me that's a very famous carving that you did that's been on a lot of. Tell us a little bit about that carving.
It was selected. It's the International Wood Collectors Society.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the cover of their magazine, and they did an article on it.
Pretty famous, then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gotten out there. It's been around the world.
Probably a lot of people have seen it and not even realized where it came from.
Yeah, yeah, Greenwood.
Greenwood, that's right, from Jack Cobb. But the detail. Now, just for the record, when you did that, did you have a picture that you did, or was this in your mind, or how does this work?
This one, I worked from a photograph.
You worked from a photograph.
And there's nothing better than looking at the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can draw anything to the same detail and do. What it does is it basically gives you an outline. Once you start carving, the rest is up to you.
Right.
But you know you're looking at a living animal, and so you know that it's right, the proportions and everything. But, you know, I design totally, you know, from scratch if that calls for it.
Sure.
In this case, it was basically done for a sample to say be nice over a fireplace or something in a rustic setting, you know, maybe 5-6 feet across, a nice heavy relief, very deep relief, and
sure,
for things like that. So,
well, they are totally lifelike. And then, of course, you've got this big horse over here that looks phenomenal. That's just the backdrop to the video we're doing here today as we're talking. And, you know, the mane in this, you can literally see almost every hair in that mane. It is phenomenal. And did that one come from a picture, too,
yes,
Jack?
Yes, yep. That's the best way that I've found to get realism, to start with that. And work it into the background.
Now, what about doing 3D? Since these are relief off wood, you can do good
stuff. Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I imagine that some hunters or game hunters or people that love hunting and
yes,
everything, that this would be fabulous for them.
Yeah, it'd be phenomenal for a fireplace, a stone fireplace, and have a carving over it like that of elk or whatever. That was the purpose of those carvings,
pieces. Yeah. Okay.
To show what can be.
What can be done. I mean, it really is up to your imagination, isn't it? Or
oh,
the person's
absolutely.
Imagination.
Yeah.
You have done, actually, since you've been here, you've done a crest, is that right, that
yes.
you did? Yeah.
Yeah. It's out of walnut for a gentleman in Greenville. It's about 5 feet across and about 3 feet high. In 3-inch thick walnut, and it's all cut free, and it has swords and the shield in the center, a lot of detail, scrolling leaves and what have you in it.
Wow. You know, and how much time does it take to do something like that? Just out of curiosity.
That one, that's a whole other ballpark when you get into that. That was that took about a month.
Wow. So about how many hours? You know, how many hours? There's a lot. Yeah.
Well, I'd say somewhere around 200 hours.
200 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of that detail, it certainly can be done in a fraction of the time, but
sure.
The detail that went into that was
unbelievable.
Yeah, it requires a lot more time.
Wow. Well, listen, we are going to hear South Carolina news, a word from our sponsors. We have Jack Collier here. If you are looking for a phenomenal piece, if you want to see the best of the best, you know what? It's right here. He lives in Cross Hill. He's right here with us at Sharp Facets right now. So let's join South Carolina News. We'll be back. Got a question or a comment? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Monday, happy day. Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Rock and roll week with you.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery. Gold has been on the rise today. Come in and ride the wave, because who knows what tomorrow may bring, folks. You know, what goes up does go down. So come see us at Sharp Facets Gallery. What's the reason to sell it here at Sharp Facets Gallery? Because we buy the piece as a piece of jewelry, not just the gold. Makes a difference. You get the gold, you got the diamonds, you've got a nice piece of jewelry. Make sure you bring it here. Got a piece of scrap gold? Hey, bring it here. We're paying the most. We know it, and a lot of our people that shop with us know it. Shouldn't you know it? Come see us right here. Well, we're here with Jack Collier this afternoon. We are talking about wonderful wood carvings, whether it's animals, whether it's leaves and flowers and all this kind of stuff. He is the best, and how we got so lucky to have him living right out here at the lake is beyond me, but we are. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about some of the big jobs you've done. You've done, Yale University?
Yeah, Yale University. I believe they had a fire in their library at one point, and they sent me about a 10 or 11-inch wide piece of crown molding that had elaborate carving on it, but it looked kind of like a charcoal briquette. I could barely make out what it was, and from that I carved, there was, well, I think 150 feet of it.
Wow.
In big lengths of white oak.
Wow.
And it was a somewhat backbreaking carving that white oak. It was real deep relief. It had leaves that come and hang out off of the molding, like hanging out into the room, and it had quite a bit of detail. And they were very pleased. It matched up very well with what they had there. There was quite a bit of other work in with that.
So that was for Yale University.
Yeah.
All right. Then what else did you do? Didn't you do a church or something too?
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. A Catholic church. It had 18-foot high Gothic arches in it. It had and they wanted carving in it. It had about an 8-foot high chair for the priest. It had carvings in the back and the arms and the legs. Kind of a medieval looking piece. It was kind of interesting with the, you know, velvet seat and what have you. And
sure. So you did it.
It ended up being the entire front of the church.
How long did a project like that take?
That went on for, I would say, about, from what I remember, maybe 7 or 8 months on that.
Now I just got to ask you, as a woodcarver, we see people that open clamshells and do that kind of stuff, or work with lobster and this type of thing. Do you happen to have a bigger arm for the carving arm there?
Yeah, I think after pushing out a while, your arms kind of look like Popeye,
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I was just curious because, that's tough work, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, your hands and everything get quite a workout. Your arms, you're constantly pushing on it.
But the thing about it is there aren't a lot of people that do this type of work, are there, Jack?
No, not many. Everything is done by machine anymore. The carving is one thing. If you want a genuine carving in the detail, it has to be done by hand.
Right. But today, most of it is done by machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a lot of stuff coming in from out of the country,
Yeah, and even that's done on a machine. They'll duplicate it on a machine and at the most sand it a little bit and... maybe touch it with a carving tool and call it hand-carved, but it's
not really hand-carved, is it?
Not really hand-carved, no.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about now. I noticed here that you did work for Mario Andretti, the race car driver.
Yes. I did the bar in his basement.
Did you know you were doing it for him when you did it?
That one I did, yes. I lived about 3 or 4 miles away from him at that time in Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Did you carve race cars into the molding?
No, that one, it had, I believe it had about 13 pull-out drawers that came out of the bar rail so that the drawers had to fit into the curved bar rail. And there was a glass cut into the bar top, and he put his little trophies and plaques and whatever in these little drawers, and they were locked.
Wow.
And they went all around the bar. So that was more of a woodworking challenge to get all those little tiny drawers and locks and lighting and what have you and that. But it was a pretty neat bar. It had 4 large... TVs in each corner of the bar, and it was quite elaborate.
Wow.
And the nicest garage I've ever seen.
I wonder why.
It went on forever and had beautiful, it looked like brass drains in the floor and beautiful black and white checkered tile, and it was all pitched so that the cars could be washed in there. I saw him pull up in his Corvette, and it was pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. All right. So that's one job. But who are some of the other people that you did work for?
One that comes to mind was Yvonne Lendl, tennis player. Had a large home in Connecticut, and did carvings. It had dormers on the exterior of the home. And it had did carvings up in there and some other things for the inside and what have you on that.
And how about Bill Cosby? Did you do some work for Bill Cosby?
Yes. Carved mahogany door casings. I made some beds for him. It was quite a bit of things I did.
But did you know you were doing work for Bill Cosby when you did that?
No. Found out after the job was done who it was for. Obvious reasons.
they never let you know, actually.
They don't like to disclose often who it's for.
I wonder why that is, because you're afraid you'll charge too much. Well, that's pretty neat. You've got to look back at your life and say, what do you have to say about all the things you've done?
It's pretty nice to look back on it. I can smile and
feel good about the things you've done.
Yeah, it was kind of enjoyable, too.
Absolutely.
To be able to do that.
Now, what about doing the State Department? Now, that was huge as far as, your work is in the State Department.
Yeah.
Wow, what a feeling.
Yeah, that was a thrill. That's probably the highlight of where it was. I think there are some other works that I did of that were of more detail, and but knowing that it was a State Department was a real thrill to be able to do the.
So what exactly did you do for the State Department?
Acres of carved cornice work. The cornice was 2 feet high and projected about 18 inches from the wall. There are 13 layers of trim made up that, and each run had a different type of carving on it. All of the door casings, some of them had roses in the bottom and different carvings, carvings on the corners, and the fireplaces, the main fireplace I did first, all of the corbels, the detail around that, carved capitals.
So when they're sitting in front of the fireplace there, you did that carving.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a thrill. It shows up on the news and what have you, and it's kind of.
Now, did you ever put your initials in there?
I did. I put them in the corner of it, and
did you ever get a copy of it?
Painted over it.
But did you ever get the what shall we say, the recognition, the fact that it's in the State Department?
Not really. The that goes to the higher ups, the architects and what have you, typically get that. But it's kind of nice to know. I have pictures of it in process, with it on my bench and what have you, and
I saw some of those pictures. And then you said you went there one time to check it out, and you saw where they had just they hadn't hired an artist to paint it. They had hired just a painter, and they slopped paint on it.
Yeah. I was a little surprised. I carved that one in mahogany, and a lot of hand cut detail, and some of that got lost in the paint job. But, it looks, that's how they did it back then, too. It was hand carved, and they get out their paintbrush and go to it.
This is an interesting story, because when we went to Washington, I guess it was really going on 2 years ago now, we went up there with the intention of trying to find your initials on there. You knew exactly, close to where you had put your initials. And I will tell you this, the idea of just going in there and snapping a picture of these initials was our initial plan, wasn't it? Well, do you know, they were so difficult, they would not let us do that. Or then we said, how about just look in this place and take a picture of where the initials are? They wouldn't even do that for us. So we were a little surprised. We were actually a little surprised that we couldn't get that. You said the time that you were up there, that you were looking at it real close in one place, and what happened?
Well, I was looking at the detail, and the rest of the group was moving on. We went down as a group, the millwork company and myself went down, to look at all of the carvings and everything, the finished job. And I went up and looked at the fireplace, and some rather large guy about the size of a pickup truck in a dark suit to encourage me to move along and go. Apparently they didn't like me looking at the fireplace up close. So.
But on the flip side, they were expounding upon the great carving that was done, and all the people that they didn't know who had done it.
No.
But you were standing there, and all the millwork people were pointing at you saying you had done it.
Yeah.
So don't figure, does it? It doesn't. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I'm here with Jack Collier. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back. Don't you go away. Got a question or a comment? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
My cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are
gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. It's 4:51 in the afternoon. It's Thursday afternoon. After Thursday comes Friday, and it'll be giveaway Friday tomorrow afternoon. You got to tune in. We're going to be doing the really stupid questions that we want answers to, so this will be an easy one. Make sure you tune in tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 5. We've got some great giveaway from Capri's to Mezza Grill to, Shoney's. We've got it all right here for you to win if you can give us the right answer. But right now we are talking to Jack Collier, and we are talking about woodworking. But, you know, not only do you do the carvings and these spectacular pieces, you also do a lot of restoration work, don't you, Jack?
Yes, furniture that's been damaged or something, a family heirloom, if it's worth keeping in the home.
Sure.
You know, I can restore things like that, if there's any carvings broke or any kind of restoration work. A hand-rubbed finish that's top quality materials and reasonable,
sure,
depending on the job and, you know, what they want.
So you can do everything on this. Restoring an old piece, you can make a new piece,
yes,
to look like an old piece.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of that kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the most popular things that people are possessing lately are their members of their family, and they don't always want pictures of their kids carved, but they do like pictures of their pets carved, don't they? I can see you doing one of Gracie. My God, that'll be an expensive one.
She won't hold still long enough.
That's true. That's true. That's why you got to catch her while she's sleeping. But you've been doing some of that too, haven't you?
Yeah, I have a request. Somebody wants their dog carved,
mm-hmm,
and so I'm going to be doing that for them.
Yep.
Out of mahogany.
Yes. And
so
you can do all that detail and get liveliness.
The likeness, yeah. Yeah. So if someone has their horses or whatever it is, you know, I can do.
Have you ever done any life-size animals now, Jack?
No.
No? I was just wondering, yes. You know, crazy life-size, yes.
Yes, I can.
All right, okay.
If the request is put in, certainly.
Okay, all right. Probably be easier to do a toy poodle or something like that than a Gracie dog.
Poodles would be a little better.
A little easier to do, yes, from size-wise. But anyways, you can do just about anything that somebody wants, whether it's redoing a kitchen or doing a specialty project through a restoration.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you like to do the best?
I enjoy the carving the best, obviously.
Did you do a lot of carving in your house, Jack, in your own house?
I do, but then I end up selling them, it seems like.
Well, there's no better way than doing that, you know. If you're satisfied with it, then probably somebody else is. You're probably your own worst critic, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I have done carvings and fireplaces and what have you, and somebody comes along and needs a house worse than I do, and
yeah, there it goes. Now, I was just thinking, we've talked a lot about horses and animals and whatnot. How about fish? I'll bet you could do some fabulous stuff with fish for the big fishermen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've done some wonderful little carvings for us, or actually some little boxes to put watches in,
mm-hmm,
pocket watches, and you've just done us some wonderful pieces as displays for pieces of jade. So there's not a project too big or too small that Jack won't undertake,
yeah,
if he has the time. And, of course, time is of one of the issues, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Jewelry boxes, for example, if they want a nice a chest or a small jewelry box.
And you do the whole
carving
thing.
Or whatever, absolutely, yeah. Everything, yeah.
Yeah, you do the whole thing. I mean, he'll line the inside. He'll make it just perfect. I would find it hard to have the patience to do that. That's got to be a very patient job, isn't it?
Yeah, the smaller, you have to scale your thinking down. Sometimes if you're working on a large job and and all of a sudden you do these miniature little detailed boxes or whatever, it's quite an adjustment. It takes a little time to calm down to
exactly
handle the little detail like that. But,
wow. Okay. All right. Well, here we are. We're talking with Jack Collier. If you'd like to give him a call, 998-4611. That's 998-4611. He lives right out there on the lake. He's loving it. He does restorations, designs, custom kitchens with cabinetry. You know, if you're not moving but you want to upscale what you've got, Jack would be an excellent person to talk to. Also, you don't really need you can actually do the design work for it too, can't you?
Yeah, yes, I've designed many kitchens, bathrooms, what have you.
So you don't actually have to have a design person or an architect. You could, but you don't necessarily have to have when they talk to you.
If they have someone that has designed the basic layout for it, I can work from that and put some custom detail in if they want, or do standard, whatever. It'll be high quality.
That's right. And since we are spending more time in our homes because we're not able to sell them and move to a different one, we're also not able to go out and have as many adventures as we would like. We're staying closer to home, entertaining at home, and doing things at home is so popular. So I guess that explains why you're busy and don't have just can't pick up the phone and say, come do it next week. But you can set up with Jack. He would love to talk to you. So as we move towards this 5 o'clock hour, Jack Collier, it is always a pleasure to sit down and talk to you and talk about some of the things that you are working on. What's the thing you're working on you're most excited about right now?
I'm doing a walnut round drop leaf table. It's about 4 foot diameter. It has carvings all in the top, all around the perimeter, and some on the very border that I'm finishing up right now.
How about getting the wood today? Is that hard to find the right woods?
It's expensive in that getting matched wood and everything. It takes time. You have to be able to go in and be able to select it. Pick the grain and everything. It's not like getting a piece of plywood and
carving out a piece of plywood here.
Chunking away at it, you know. So it takes time, to get the right grain and everything. And
I was just thinking it's probably even a little harder to find some of this wood now, just because of the market and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's harder to find the real prime.
Quality stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we are right here at Sharp Fastest Gallery. We are going to be here till 6 o'clock this afternoon. Gold closed up today. That's a good thing, but don't believe that it's going to stay up there. It can fall back at a moment's notice. We've seen it over the last week. So why don't you come see us and check out what we're doing right here at Sharp Fastest Gallery. Not only do we buy, we also sell. And right now we've got diamond hearts at 70. Count it, 70% off. But we have been talking here today with Jack Collier. His telephone number, 998-4611. That's 998-4611. I am Ann Eller, and this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Jack, thanks so much for coming out this afternoon.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So bye-bye, everybody. Take care. And make sure you tune in tomorrow afternoon for Giveaway Friday. Bye-bye, y'all. See you soon.